We're men. We're men in tights. Tights! Tights!
All right, well, we're started. We're rolling. We're good to go. We are... it's time for another show.
Yeah.
Male Encounters of the Life Kind. I've had kind of a weird kind week. Between Male Encounters of the Weird Kind. How about you, man?
I can make the argument that they're all weird.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
They're all weird, man.
Well, yeah. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of excited about being at the Cave in Farmington.
Yeah.
Across from San Juan College, Farmington, New Mexico. And we have Randy. Are you like the proprietor? What would be your title, Randy?
Right now, I'm just a barber, pretty much.
Just a barber?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, don't say it like that.
Is anyone ever just a barber? I mean...
Barber philanthropist, I guess.
A barber is kind of like a cross between a psychologist, psychiatrist, which is the one that doesn't prescribe drugs?
That would be the psychologist.
The psychologist. So you're kind of like a psychologist, like bartender role, kind of thing.
So back whenever I was first getting trained, my mentor told me that there's two things about being a barber. First thing is that you're in everybody's ear. Everybody in town will at some point be in your ear, whether it's the street sweeper to the mayor kind of an idea. You'll hear about everybody's going-ons. And then the other side of it was that the people that come in and are in your chair, you're, just like you said, you're their psychologist, you're a therapist, you're there to listen to everything that they have to say, whether it's good or bad. You're there to celebrate with them in the good times and help them get through the bad times kind of an idea.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there used to be an old saying. It was tell a hairdresser. Because it all gets out.
Oh, for news.
Yeah. But it was hairdresser. So times have changed. I mean, barbers now are doing a lot more styling. Where before, you know, I can remember when I was a kid, it was the buzz cut. You go in and get the old flat top.
Yeah.
You know, you remember those?
Yeah.
Then, we still do them.
Yeah, I grew up in the barbershop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom did mine.
You know? Oh, did she?
Oh, yeah. Clippers, I don't know. Didn't have Walmart in those days. TGNY clippers, I think.
It was always kind of a cool thing because I would go to the barbershop with, like, dad or grandpa, sometimes mom, you know, whatever, depending on who was around. But that was kind of cool for, like, the guys to go down to the barbershop, you know. Yeah.
When Martin was here, I brought my son in for his first shave because I got one, so I got all my boys one as they got of age and were there's nothing like, and you guys still do that, right?
Yes,
still do the
sure
shave
do.
Here? Yeah.
We sure do.
Straight razor shave. There's nothing like a straight. Have you ever had
this? Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I have to have one at least once a year. At least once a year. Something about that straight razor.
Personally, I believe that every man that wants to take care of himself to any degree should get a straight razor shave at least one time in their life to experience it.
Oh, yeah. There's just nothing
because,
like it.
Yeah. Just because the experience in itself is something that's kind of gone out of style to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that a lot of places don't do, and that's neither here nor there. That's depending on the location. Certain laws are in place. And like the reasoning that we can't use a conventional straight razor, the old style that you have to use the honing edge and the strop and everything for. Well, here in the state of New Mexico, at least, we aren't allowed to use those. Like, I have one, but I can only use it on myself.
Right.
The way that I would be able to use one on either of you guys would be you buy one, bring it in, give it to me, and say, I want you to use this on me and only me. And so that's like the loophole that we can
use.
Oh,
that's nice to know.
Yeah, it's a dying craft, in my opinion. But I personally try to stay as close to that original method as possible.
Right.
I still use the bowl and brush with the soap puck and everything like that.
That's something I wouldn't have thought of, because you've got to replace the blade. That's the whole point.
So,
because without, I forgot what that's called, but there's a machine that basically hydrosonically blasts out every little microscopic thing from every pit in that metal.
Yeah.
Unless you have one of those, which is not reasonable for a barbershop to have one of those, then
it's
not going to work.
If that's something that you're doing on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
Currently, I'm the only barber in here, so I'm the only one who can perform straight razor shaves.
Right.
And so for me to be the one person, even if I had every single slot picked up, like filled up, and had a different straight razor for every individual person, it still wouldn't be worth it.
Yeah.
Just because that those machines alone, having to pay for them,
it's
pretty expensive.
Really expensive.
Yeah. And sterilization.
And you have to have a barber to have the red and white pole outside, right? If you don't.
No, not particularly. That was a law. I forget what state first initiated that, and then it kind of spread around. I want to say it was like Michigan, maybe. Basically, if you were a barbershop or any kind of hairdressing salon, whatever kind of business it was where you cut hair and styled it, you had to have something on the street that labeled you as that. So typically that's why you would see those barber poles out there, just because that's kind of a universal symbol. Even foreign countries and whatnot, a lot of people think that the red, white, blue barber pole, oh, USA. No, that originated way long
ago. Yeah. Well, yeah. And actually, the barber used to do things besides just cut your hair. I mean, they were like surgeons.
Like surgery.
So barber surgeons were a thing. Yeah. Barber surgeons were a thing. And then those darn doctors decided, you know what, we want to be the only ones to do things like that. So,
edging in on our craft. Come on.
Well, I mean, before they had done that, the barber surgeon was... he was a very high-level member of society.
Yeah.
And after that separation, which... let's be all be honest here, pretty good separation. It's a good idea to not
In retrospect,
barber.
Sure. Yeah.
Like I personally, even if that had been if that had never gone on, I wouldn't want to be like paid to remove somebody's mole for them. I'm good. I don't want to do a bloodletting in the year 2021.
Come on, man. I've got this one.
Oh, man.
Sometimes I guarantee that there would be some of my clients that would be, just cut it off, man. It's fine. It'll heal. Whoa, that's no.
Those are like, they're directly hooked to a vein, aren't they? Like,
they bleed very badly.
Yeah.
Take a lot of stuff.
I've cut this one on my face multiple times, and it doesn't stop for a while.
Ken was saying something. You had a story to share. I'm all about stories. I mean, what got you here to New Mexico? I mean, are you from here?
So I grew up in New Mexico. I've been here all 24 years. But I grew up originally in Grants, New Mexico. Small town.
The lava beds. I've been down there, hunted down there. Cut my foot several times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nasty place.
Yeah. Yeah, that lava rock is mean.
Yeah.
If it was the topic of today, I would tell you a story about some stuff that had happened down there at one of the prisons my dad worked at.
We're game. I mean,
throw it out there, man.
You want to go with that? All right.
Yeah.
So there was this one time there was
at
I want to say
camp?
It was two. I'm sorry. I want to say it was two or three inmates had somehow snuck out, right, and they had gotten out of the facility, but they didn't know what the Malpai was. they didn't realize that those lava beds were lava beds for one.
Yeah.
And so they're out there, and the shoes that you have while in prison are basically paper.
Yeah.
They're paper with a very mild amount of cushion on the bottom. So they make it about 15, 20 yards into the Malpai, and by that time, the shoes, quote-unquote, have been completely shredded off their feet.
I'm surprised they made it that far.
That was my thought process. Yeah. My guess is they started like climbing around hands and knees kind of thing, watching for footholds, and then just gave up because their hands were shredded, their feet were shredded, their knees were shredded, their clothes were shredded. And so they had to sit there and wait and wait and wait because they couldn't just send people in after them because that'll tear up even boots.
Right.
That'll tear up nice, like, high-quality shoes. So they ended up having to get a helicopter over there and airlift them off and then drop them back off at the prison. That's one of the favorite things that I've been told about
now,
the history of those prisons.
Am I mean for thinking... if I were in charge of that situation, I would just stand there on the edge like, come on, you got yourself that far, get yourself back. Let's go.
It is prison after all.
Right?
It's not a holiday.
I mean...
I guess it's the humane thing to...
So, I don't know. I'm torn about that. My dad and I have had many conversations about prisons and prison reform and such like that. And I think that one of the nicer things of a couple European countries is that there is no actual punishment if you try to escape. Because it's human nature to desire to be free.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And
yeah.
To strive to be free in that way. I don't think anyone should be punished for something like that.
That's a good point. I can buy off on that.
I mean, if I were trapped in a room for every day, night, and...
Yeah, I'm going to do everything I can to get out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I couldn't hold that against someone like that.
So there, they don't punish you for that. They're just like, nah, good try, but you're going to stay here.
Exactly.
And they don't add anything to it. Or, oh, nice.
Ken, my best advice to you that I live all my life by is don't do anything to end up.
The first thing about it all, just don't break the law.
Yeah.
Right?
Simple.
Yeah.
Simple.
If only it were that simple.
Yeah.
I mean, except
with how fast laws can change anymore.
If they're silly laws, I mean, go ahead and break those.
That's Ken Collins, ladies.
If they just don't
we
make
here
any
at the
sense.
Man Cave do not condone the statements of these two gentlemen.
Exactly. I'm just gonna say,
we do not affiliate with political.
Male encounters of the lifetime do not condone
the ramblings of, stated on yeah, exactly. of the madman known as Ken Collins.
Oh, no.
Honestly, I didn't know you were that sadistic.
I cannot be in charge. I just can't.
No,
I can't be
in
charge.
I'm in the same boat for that kind of thing. If I see someone get themselves into a stupid situation, I want them to have to figure it out themselves. I'm tired of people helping each other.
Learn the lesson.
Right.
Like, I'm all for helping people. It's good to help certain people in certain situations. But look at the situation. Was the person an idiot that got themselves into some horrible place because of their stupidity?
Yeah.
Well, time to learn, buddy. That's what common sense is supposed to be for. If you don't got enough, then it's time to start finding some.
Yeah. Yeah, if someone just doesn't have the mental capacity to figure something out, that's totally forgivable to me. But someone that has the mental capacity and just decided to be a bonehead, I'm going to let you learn your lesson. Go ahead and walk through that lava pit, man. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Get back here. Come on.
Well, I might, if my kid had done something like that, my boy, I might have said, you got your butt out there.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll figure out how to get your butt. I'll be right here waiting for you.
That's the way you learn lessons.
Sipping a cup of coffee, just waiting.
That's right.
It's hard to derail that part there. So after I had graduated high school, I was actually trying to get into the Marine Corps. But sadly, that didn't end up panning out. I had asthma as a kid, and the documentation was too plentiful for me to get in anyway. So after that, I was kind of out of options, didn't really have a plan B. So anyone listening, make sure you have a plan B for every situation in your life. But I had mentioned to a friend of mine that I didn't really have any ideas to what I was going to do or any clues to where to go. And those of you that don't know Grants, there's not really a whole lot to build off of there. It used to be a huge boom town because of the uranium mine, and then the coal mine, and then the paper mill, and then this, that, and the other. And now pretty much everything other than the federal prisons and state prison have shut down. So, unless you're looking to get into the prison system.
Or the hospital.
Or hospital. I'm not cut out for medical. I am not cut out for medical. I already know that I'm not. I just don't have that mindset.
I don't either.
But so I ended up moving up here because they had a spare room that they were willing to rent to me for really cheap. I mean, cheapest rent in town with all the amenities needed and everything like that. So it worked out. I ended up going up to San Juan College for a little while and just kind of taking whatever. Didn't really know what I was wanting to do with my life. So took some prereq classes, a couple just simple things. Took some astronomy stuff. I was interested in that. And then after a while, I just started working. So worked at one of the Durango Joes in town. Worked after that, I worked for a company called Cormark. They're a distribution company, and won't say anything to disparage them. But after getting laid off in summer of 2019, I took a couple weeks, just kind of relaxed. It was a pretty demanding job at the time, and I just wanted to get some of my energy back, my motivation, and after a while, wanted to stop looking like a hobo and went in and got a haircut from my buddy Lyle. He's been cutting my hair for a while, and we had been good friends for a bit, too. And I had asked him about how he had become a barber. I'm just curious and wanted to make conversation, but he ended up bringing up the fact that I had cut hair in high school. And that was back in ROTC days. I was in Marine Corps JROTC for high school. And started as, well, you're in uniform, but you didn't get your hair cut. Time to rectify that, buddy. You're going to wear the uniform. You're going to wear the uniform.
Yeah.
And so that was straight down to skin buzz cuts. And, well, a few of my friends started hating me, and I asked the gunny if I could start to do, you know, just maybe a simple fade or something like that on him. Maybe just a crew cut. Oh, you could have the whole time. Oh, okay. Thanks, gunny. Really
appreciate it. Thanks for jacking
with me. Exactly. But, so he brought up the fact that I had cut hair back in high school and was wondering if I had ever put any thought to doing it as a profession. And at the time, I really hadn't. I had toyed with the idea, but it wasn't something that I had really considered, you know. But he brought up that he had started teaching over here at San Juan College for the barber program, and that there was an apprenticeship that I might have been interested in. That apprenticeship was a joint apprenticeship between the former, the Cave, mm-hmm. men's grooming, and that was luckily able to transfer to the new business of the Man Cave. And basically it was at the school. I would learn the theory and the fundamentals and such like that. And then over here at the Cave itself, I would learn from the other barbers and the journey workers in general as to how to do certain cuts, certain techniques, how do you shave, what are certain tips and tricks that they don't tell us about in books? What are the things in a shop that you can only learn in a shop?
Yeah.
And it was a very long apprenticeship. It was over the course of 2 years. I actually just finished it last month.
Nice.
So,
fantastic.
Yeah, it was long, and with all the COVID stuff and some other hiccups with some certain things at the school, I don't really want to go into that. I don't know if it's really my place to go into that. So,
right.
But it was very, very beneficial to me, not only because I had a job that I can go to and had that little bit of normalcy to my life again, not just being a hobo sitting at my house. Well, that's kind of counterproductive,
Yeah.
But it just doing nothing versus having structured schedule that I would come in, work, and, you know, do my thing. And I've always been the kind of person that learns far better through experience versus reading a book or watching a video or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm from Missouri. I'm a show me boy. I mean, I can't learn anything reading. I can, but I don't know how to do it.
I have to read it about five times to get it, even the concept of it. Yeah. And
it's always better if somebody shows you.
Yeah. That's my opinion, at least. Especially with something like this. Any kind of trade, in my opinion, it should always be shown, not read. And that was a very beneficial thing for me when it came to this apprenticeship, because I feel like I learned not only faster, but I learned so much more than some of my my peers over in the regular programs, because they would be over at the school 7-8 hours a day.
Right.
From 8 till 5 or whatever their particular schedule had lined up for them.
That's when you can get free haircuts, right?
I don't know if it's actually free.
Maybe it was $5.
It's super cheap. Know that much.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't remember if it was free entirely, but and so like over here, it works somewhat similarly for me. Whenever I finally started cutting, about a month and a half, 2 months in, I was charging half cuts. So it was like ten and change basically for my cuts at first, and then as I progressed, that price would go up to the full price eventually, and now I'm basically just full time working, and yeah.
Nice.
So how many haircuts have you had, Ken?
I have actually had a million haircuts. I know it doesn't look like it these days, but when I was a kid, my hair could never be longer than collar length.
Oh, my dad would. Yeah.
If it started touching my collar, time to get it chopped. And so that was really aggravating. I went straight from that into the military. And so at least, no joke, we used to visit this barbershop in Virginia. It was awesome. It was these old Hawaiian guys, and they were like, you have to be Italian. You have to be Italian. Because I would have to go in probably every 4 to 5 days.
Do that fast.
To get it shaped back up, and so it's not touching my ears.
So
it's stay within regulations. Yeah. And so, yeah, I would get a haircut every 4 to 5 days.
Enjoy
for
that.
For 10 years.
Enjoy that, because when you get to be my age, you're look at this. I mean, if I go out in the wind, you know, it's awful. But enjoy that while you can.
Yeah. Now it's probably once a month, like once a month or something. I get like 4 or 5 inches chopped off of it, and just to keep it.
You get 4 or 5 inches in a month?
Maybe generous. Maybe 3.
Yeah, that's a lot still.
It's still it grows really fast. We were just discussing that earlier off the mic that I don't stress about it, man. Since I've been in the military, it's been everywhere from buzz cut to longer than this, and I just tell them, cut it, man. Cut it. Just cut it.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, whatever. If it's shorter than I wanted it, fine. It's going to grow back.
Because of my size, I always get, when I sit down in the chair for the first time with a barber, whether it be male or female, I always get like, how do you want this exactly? They get like, you know, I'm like looking. Just, I like it like this. It's similar to this. Just shorten it up, clean it up a little bit. But if you mess it up, it grows back.
It does.
I don't care, you know. So relax. I'd rather have you relaxed than you know, be nervous about if you're going to do it wrong or not.
Right.
But I get that every time I get a new barber. Every time.
I guess part of that, like getting out of the military, that was always the joke with us, because we always had to have everything exactly the same way, and little Hitler mustaches because it can't go past the line from your nose to the corner of your mouth, and it's just a mess. And so we called it playing Mr. Potato Head. So we were doing that. We'd grow a beard and shave it off, and grow a goatee and shave it off, and grow a mustache and shave it off, and gray hair long, cut it off, and it was just constantly like Mr. Potato Head, just trying stuff out. Yeah.
Well, it's a good look for you. I wish mine was that thick.
I've been with this one for a while.
I'm extremely jealous. I just I got mine. I have a very dear friend that I haven't seen in forever, and she used to cut my hair all the time. So I went and visited her yesterday and got my hair cut. And I sat down. She goes, "Is it the usual?" I haven't seen her in 10 years, right? Usual. I'm like, let me have it. I don't care.
Yeah, whatever the usual was 10 years ago, I guess.
Whatever you think makes me look purdy. Do you ever get that kind of client?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Just make me look purdy?
Yeah.
Have you ever gone, I don't think I can do that?
there's been a couple instances where that happened. So one time there was I couldn't have been more than 16, 17. Kid comes in, he's got this righteous mullet, and he wants the American flag cut into the sides.
Oh my god.
And I personally haven't done a whole lot of like design based work like that before. That's kind of the area that we live in that's not too popular, and at most it's like a line on the side of the head, and that's about it.
Sure.
So having a kid randomly walk in, no appointment, no phone call, no nothing. Hey, can somebody do the American flag on the side of my head? I have a mullet contest today. Sorry, buddy. I don't know if I could do that one. And
somebody give me a stencil and some spray paint.
Well, funny with the spray paint, we actually have these colored pencils that are designed to draw on skin and through hair and whatnot, so you can put the design in and kind of trace, use that as your outline.
That's amazing.
I think I'm going to be a guinea pig someday. But I don't know what to put on the side of my head.
I don't know.
Maybe a microphone.
A microphone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gosh, that'd be difficult.
Yes.
I don't know how many years I've lived behind a microphone. That would be, You don't want to take that challenge? Look at this face. Now this is the time I wish we had video.
We can give it a shot. And like you said, it grows back.
It grows back. It absolutely does.
I do have a few clients, though, going back to that idea of, just make me look good, man. There's quite a few folks that I have like that. And there's one guy in particular. I won't say his name to dox him or anything like that, but he every time he comes in, he doesn't come in regularly or anything like that. It's completely sporadic with him. It's pretty much just do what you want to, man. Just make it look good. All right.
Nice.
We're going to do something like this time. It sounds fun. Okay, cool. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And that's always a good time, cuz that brings out the more artistic side of this job.
Yeah.
Because that's something, once again, like we mentioned about the whole straight razor thing, it's a dying art form.
Yeah.
I love straight razors. I'm going to have to come have one now. I've got one. Yeah.
I just believe that the artistry of it is dying to the clout chasing. it's dying to the popularity contest.
Sure.
Especially within this industry. That's one of the big problems that I have with this industry is that there's so many people that their entire focus, even though they're in the barbershop, they're cutting hair, their entire focus is how can I make this get 10,000 plus likes?
How can I get
this to explode on social media? How can I get this to explode for me?
That's where all those hatchet cuts and that kind of stuff. Have you seen those?
Sure.
Where they put a board and cut it with a hat?
Yeah.
I'm like, I would try a lot of stuff, but I don't think I mean, why?
It makes no sense to me. Yeah. I mean, it's the wow factor. It's the shock factor. I mean, there's a dude in Japan who does, Japan or Korea, I don't remember now, that does haircuts with a samurai sword and a flamethrower. Like, why? Why?
You know,
what's the point?
I think they're more, those people are more content creators than they are and barbers or
and
stylists.
And that right there is what has taken us away from the true art form, in my opinion. Because you have folks like here at the shop or other folks here in town that take their craft seriously and they believe that what they're doing is truly important, not only to themselves but to the people that we work on. And then you have folks who, it's just like I said, it's popularity contest, it's clout chasing, and that has detracted from the overall meaning, because the purpose of a barber isn't just to cut hair, it's to take in that client, see what it is that would make them feel the most comfortable with themselves. I mean, before I had my current hairstyle and my current like beard pattern and everything like that, I had no real like identity to myself, because I didn't know what I wanted to be. Kind of like with the whole military thing. For 4 years, I had just shaved my head bald because it was easier.
Yeah.
I paid the one-time $25 fee to Walmart for a set of clippers versus the one-time-a-week fee to a barber.
Right.
And just cut it in my own bathroom. Done.
Yeah.
And so finally, after I was able to grow my hair out, which I had tried to whenever I was a kid, and that didn't go well. I didn't take care of it. My dad said, all right, it's buzzed now. So, but after I was, you know, an adult, and I happened to run into a picture of Johnny Cash and really liked the both the look of the outfit as well as the hair and everything else, and all right, that's what I'm doing. The man
keep
in black.
A close watch on this heart of mine.
Well, you're carrying it forward, man. I mean, you look good. I mean, you got to. I mean, this is your thing.
It's the cave.
You don't want to walk in and have like a really messy barber.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so, that goes into the story of if you go into a barber shop, there's two barbers in there. You see one with a good haircut, one with a bad haircut. Which one do you go to?
I would go to the one with the bad haircut.
Correct.
Because the other guy
probably cut his hair.
Yeah.
They probably work on each other. Right. So you go to the one with the bad haircut. Right. So there you go. Now, anymore, that's not really the case. But you got to present yourself well in this industry, in my opinion.
We haven't broached it yet because we are a man's show, but you do unisex here too, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Men and women both.
Yes.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that we at least touch the base on
that. Yeah, absolutely.
We don't want to forget the
because that's a change from the last
previous
owner.
Yeah.
And so where
I never understood exactly why, other than, and you know, it was just Martin too, and
yeah,
so just kinda,
it was just a kind of a kickback to the old barbershops. And that the barbershop was like the community gathering place for men to take care of their community.
Right. So
that's pretty much on a basic level, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, pretty much. Having worked with Martin at the last shop, because I worked both at this one and the previous one. The overall goal of the previous cave was to create an environment that took care of and pampered men the same way that salons take care of and pamper women.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was the idea behind
it. I remember
that. Like the hot towels, the shampoos, everything like that.
Yeah.
That was the idea behind that one. The outlook for this, the man cave in particular, is a bit more family-oriented. So less towards necessarily pampering every single individual that comes in. And we still do that. I mean, the hot towels are still available.
Sure.
We still offer a wash with every service. But it's a bit more family-oriented overall, so it means that we're able to serve women. And it's not like we have people coming in here looking for the for a bouffant that's stacked up 3 feet off the hot off the head. You know what I mean?
Why not?
I mean, that's just a dead style at this point.
Your next hairstyle
needs to be a bouffant.
Yes, a man bun or something. I don't know.
God, man, no. I don't know anyone who does that stuff.
I've already warned my friends to clobber me if I'm ever caught in public with a man bun, because that's not me. It's an impersonator or something's gone very wrong. So yeah.
Well, listen, we're about out of time, Randy. I really appreciate you letting us invade your space, and we're going to look forward. I mean, I'm kind of excited about being here every
week. Yeah, this is going to be cool, man.
Video coming up, all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, as I told you before, I got a lot of things in the pipeline that we're going to talk about going forward as far as what for the spring. And, you know, I'm excited about the remainder of the year.
So, yeah, yeah.
But thank you. It was nice to meet you.
Yes, absolutely. Nice to meet you guys as well.
Do you have any words that you want to depart before we depart?
Don't put me in charge of a prison.
I don't know. maybe you could rehabilitate him faster.
That's a really bad idea, I think.
All right. Well, listen, thanks again. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Look forward to seeing you guys here every week.